posted some comments yesterday. I apologize. Nothing showed up on my screens that I can answer any comments. So I want to start making these more kind of back and forth between me and you guys. So if you have any comments, if you would try, if you guys can just let me know as you come on where you're coming from. First thing, I want to find out where you're coming from. Next thing is I want to find out if my chat bot is working, because for some reason yesterday I wasn't able to answer any questions. Nothing was showing up. So here's what we have on today's agenda. What's the world's going on in the markets? You're going to see some things here that I'm going to show you, what behind the scenes, some of the things that we do. But my apologies for this morning's video. I thought that the Federal Reserve was, I forget what day it was. I'm doing all my reporting and my scanning around to figure out, when's the Federal Reserve posting today, what they've done. And then 1, 2 o'clock hit, and I'm like, oh man, what did they do? And then I check out and I'm like, it's only Tuesday. So if I confuse you guys this morning on saying the bond market, you know, if you guys can hear me, you should be able to hear me at this point, but it's not the quality coming out of my, my microphone, a lot of this stuff, but I am back. So can you guys hear me now? Let me know if you can hear me. Please just give me a thumbs up. And as that starts to come in, I will let you guys know, but I am seeing your video, your charts right now. So we're good to go. Can you hear me? Say yes, no. Now loud and clear. Thank you so much. I don't know what's going on today. I have a system in my background. If I showed you, I got all these contraptions, and every so often we're getting a pop in my energy or my supply, and I'm losing everybody. So welcome aboard. Hey, Kyle's here. You can hear now. Kyle Seagraves from the Wind House You Love is on here. Michi was on my radio show years ago. She does fix and flips. Brad Hawker is on here. Solrax, you were on here yesterday, buddy. Thanks for joining me. Solrax is on here. Good now. So we should be good. I apologize, folks. So without further ado, I need you guys to ask questions. I know what I'm doing in the mortgage business. I can tell you all kinds of things about this stuff. I'm here to educate you guys. So my agenda is trying to educate you guys on what in the heck is going on. So I don't want to predict this. I don't want to come out and tell you guys what my agenda is like, because you guys, you might have concerns about what the stock market doing. We had a conversation today. I want to be a little transparent on is one of our borrowers. They called in, they did a consultation, and the conversation kind of went like this, and it kind of threw me off guard, because I haven't had this in a long, long time. Is the person they were concerned about the bank that we might be getting their money from for their mortgage. Okay, so if that's your concern, let me kind of ease some of these things for you. Let's say, for example, if you're depositing money somewhere, there's a difference between depositing your money somewhere and getting a loan from somewhere. If you don't know the difference, you need some more education, maybe just not economics 101. You need a lot of education. So if I'm putting my money in a bank, yes, you bet you. I'm making certain that bank is solvent. They have, I'm FDI insured, the whole ball of wax. Okay, so yes, be concerned where you make your deposits. However, if somebody's giving you money, do you really care where it's coming from? Okay, and yes, you want to make sure they're a legit company and they have technical support and all this other stuff. But, hopefully if they go out of business, they lose your loan, and then you don't have to make any more payments. But I can almost assure you by 100% that's not going to happen. Because when these banks crash and they burn and they go out of business, what happens is JP Morgan and other of these banks come in and swoop in and get all those assets. They don't really want to give you your money back, but they'll take those loans because you're going to have to start making payments to the company. And if JP Morgan Chase steps in and gobbles up all the, let's say, Silicon Valley Bank mortgage notes, well, then you're going to just start paying JP Morgan Chase. They don't have any risk at this point. The money's already been lent. They're just collecting at this point. So hope you get a good idea with that. So don't be concerned about, you know, what bank you're going to for the mortgage, unless that bank could be possibly out of business by time or the day you close, and then you got some major problems. But I don't see that happening. So let's, without further ado, let's get over to the agenda that we want to talk about today. And then you guys, please ask questions as we come in. I'm glad that you guys are here, and I know you're watching me because everybody and their mother came out and said that they couldn't hear me. So thank you so much for letting me know on that. Let's go through some of these questions that we're going through. So I'll pop these on the board. All right, here, let's go through the first one. I'm going to try to go through every one. And Kyle and I, when we do these on Wednesday nights, we scamper around because we have 300, 400, 500 people on there at all times. Guys, we can't answer all those questions. We try our darndest. But we do offer one-on-one free consultations. If you're out there and you need a consultation in regards to buying a house, you know, how much can you afford? Can you get pre-approved? Does your credit score match? Do you make enough income? I just got off the phone with a person with a reverse mortgage out in the West Coast. And they're more than happy to, you know, they saw my video and they found value in it and they called. So that's what our whole goal is, to educate you guys with really no agenda in the background. So today I'm going to basically answer all your questions, just go over some of the headlines, and we'll take it from there. So are assumable loans possible? Are they difficult when selling a house? Yes, they're possible. In my 34 years of doing this, I've never done one, never seen one done. I interviewed a young man the other day who says he does quite a bit of these in the VA realm, but it is really hard. So what happens is you go in there and let's say you're selling your house and you want somebody to assume that loan. There's a gap between how much you know, you're asking for the house and how much your loan amount is. So let's say, for example, your loan amount is 200, but you're selling your house for 500. The person assuming that mortgage has to make up the difference. Okay, so they have to come up with the difference in that price. How are they doing that? Okay, so that's normally what's a detraction when it comes to assumable loans. So that's that part. Is it difficult? Yeah, from everything I understand, they're really difficult. And most times when the buyer, when it's all said and done, it's better for them just to buy the house. And you know, maybe you work a deal with them on some credits and everything else to help them out in regards to payments and closing costs and so forth. But that's what happens most times. They don't get approved or they can't go through with the assumed loan, so they end up buying it just with a normal financing. So that's a fantastic question, especially in today's market when almost everybody that's selling their house has a 3%, maybe 4% interest rate, and it's tough when you sell that house and you have to go buy a new house at, you know, 6% or 7% rate. So I get it. The next question is the rate decision today or tomorrow? I thought it was tomorrow. You're right. It's my bad. What I was saying just before when you guys couldn't hear me is this morning, you probably watched this morning's video and said, what in the world is he talking about? Why should the markets all be zero right now? I kept thinking it was Wednesday. I was like, I'm doing all my research, scrambling around, prepping all day for this. And then I went in and see what the Federal Reserve did. And I found out it was tomorrow. And I know that, but that's my bad. So it's tomorrow. I will have a live event. I'm going to keep doing this every day that I can at 3:00. It's going to be after the Federal Reserve announces and after the market closes, which is perfect. I want to let you guys know. I'm going to let you know today what my thoughts are and the whys behind everything, especially if you ask. But tomorrow it's going to actually take place. So after the bell, tomorrow will be coming out. I do it at 3:00 basically because all the markets are closed. The bond market's closed. Stock market's closed. I can say, okay, here's what happened today. You know, let's talk about it. So yes, it is tomorrow. My apologies about that one. The next one is it true you can't lock in the rate until you're under contract? That is, well, let me answer it this way. A lot of companies, it is true. Yes, that is true. However, with us, we have a lock-in shop. So you can do it up to 90 days in most cases. Sometimes you can go up to 6 months. I wouldn't do that right now in today's environment because my expectations are by June, the Federal Reserve is going to halt and maybe even possibly pivot. And that's some of the research I'm working on right now is we pretty much know that tomorrow here, I'll just let the cat out of the bag tomorrow. Basically everything. It's a 95% chance that tomorrow the Federal Reserve is going to raise rates 25 basis points. That's 0.25% in interest rates. Okay. So what it's going to affect is basically instantly it's going to affect all short-term maturity loans. And those could be, and I'm, you might not even think of this, but your credit card. It's basically a short-term loan to you. So it's going to affect credit cards, car loans, personal loans, things like that. It will not affect directly mortgage rates, because mortgage rates are actually dictated by what you're seeing on your screen right now, the mortgage-backed securities market. And you're seeing that right on your screen right in here. So what this is telling us is the mortgage-backed securities market right now is down 22 ticks. Basically, all that means is if the price goes down, rates are going up, okay? And if you watch this chart over like a, let's go, one-year basis, it's basically nothing but down, 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 and then it just stagnated right through here. So I thought at the beginning of the year that we would kind of, or February, we'd begin to stagnate on rates, and we did. Basically, we hit a big high back in November, and it's been deteriorating ever since. So you see this. This is the bond market. Again, as this number goes down, rates are going up, and that's a huge down market right there. You can also see on the caption right here, MBS alerts. There's a liquidity issues right now. So this really couples into what we were talking about earlier. Why is there a liquidity issues? Well, a lot of people are avoiding mortgages right now. But one of the biggest reasons behind this is everybody's sitting on the sidelines right now waiting for tomorrow's Federal Reserve meeting notes and what they decide to do. And then you're going to see these screens basically light up like a candlestick. They're going to be everywhere. They're going to be up, down, but depending on what the Federal Reserve does. And again, if they go to expectations of the 0.25% increase bump, everybody's expecting that. So it's baked into the markets and everything else. What's not baked into the markets, which I still find, I guess, overwhelming, is the stock market. If you look at a lot of its valuations, it has not built in right now a recession on the horizon anytime in the near future. And that's really odd, because then you flip over to the futures, federal funds futures, which tell us what the Federal Reserve is going to do, or basically predictions of what the Federal Reserve is going to do over the next 6 to 12 months. And mid-year, usually between, or the reports are saying between June and August, the Fed's going to either, they'll completely stop. At that point, the markets are anticipating a pivot. What's going to happen? I don't know. You know, this banking thing wasn't really in the cards that anybody had on their sights. So that kind of shocked the markets a little bit there. But let's continue to go through some questions. And in the interim, when people don't have a question, I'm going to bring up some of the headlines that we're seeing in the news, so I can explain this to you and show you how, you know, one channel might say, oh my God, this is the world's crashing. The other channel is saying, hey, the reports today look really good. And you're like, what is it? Okay. So that's my whole goal here, is to educate you guys on that stuff. So the next thing is, we want to say, hi, Dan, what are your 2 cents on interest rates in the next 2 weeks, high or low? I think they're going to come down. I think the Federal Reserve is going to come in tomorrow with a 0.25% increase. Everybody's going to say, okay, that was good. The banks are basically bailing out a lot of the other banks. Janet Yellen, who's the Treasury Secretary, she came out today, and I'm going to show you a lot of this right live, is she came out recently and just said, or today, and said, we're going to basically guarantee all deposits. So if I'm an investor, well, let's look at it this way. If you're an investor and you're playing with borrowed money, you're playing, you know, people deposit money with you, and you can play with that. If you're making returns, fantastic. You're a great person. The board of directors is happy. We're all making a ton of money. I'm going to get stock bonuses and all that. But if I lose money, if I take too much gambles and I lose and the government backs me up, why would I not continue to do all the risk that I've been doing? And yes, I might lose my job at that bank, but I made a ton of money during the meantime. So that's the really thing that jerks my chain, is because I understand what the Federal Reserve is doing, and the government, the FDIC and everything else. But the thing is, it's creating a bad precedent to other banks to say, you know, maybe we can be loose on this as well. And then a lot of these banks, you know, they got affected within the last 2 weeks because of all this. Their stocks got hammered, and I'm going to show you how just a couple stocks today are up over 20-30% today. So is this manipulation? I don't know. I can't say. I can't prove. But in the long run, we might see that maybe this was kind of a distraction. I'll put it that way. So next question is, but thanks for the question. You're actually not responsible to pay another bank that assumes your mortgage. You're actually not responsible to pay another bank that assumes your mortgage. Not actually sure what you're saying there. If you assume a mortgage, you're going to have to pay. Not responsible to pay another bank that assumes your mortgage. Okay, let me look at this one. Yes, you are. Don't mean to, you know, I don't mean to be argumentative on here, but I'm not going to tell you. I just watched, I think I told you guys the other day, I watched Pastor Tony Evans every morning. And I watch him on my way to work and on my way home. And he made a comment the other day, and I'm like, that's perfect. I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what the facts are. And if you deem that relevant or not, I can't really say anything on that context. But it's the truth. So you can't, you know, shoot the messenger for the truth. And I promise you, every time I answer a question, it's going to be as truthful as I possibly can. So what happens is, and I think this might be your question. Let's say, for example, my bank is with Citibank. And Citibank goes out of business, and so Chase buys that or takes over their assets and all the other stuff. I continue to have to make my mortgage payment. Instead of making it to Citibank, I now have to make it to Chase. So because that lender went out of business does not mean that you basically have a free and clear house and your mortgage is null and void. It's going to that those liabilities and assets are going to get picked up by another bank. So that's how that works. I don't know if you're talking about assuming somebody's mortgage, but if you assume it, I mean, you do have to make payments. I'm a little confused on that, but let's keep going on. Do you think we're looking at close to the top of interest rates hikes? Because I'm looking at getting a variable interest rate. So let me explain kind of the differences between that. The first thing is, yes, I expect we're basically at our top, or we were at our top in November at 7.375. We're down now, and the going rate today is, let me see if I can find it up on here, up on my screen. That is not it. That is not it. I'm all over the board here. Housing slump. Maybe I don't have the rates up right now. Let's see. Let's go to here. These are all the clickies that I got. We're going to go to mortgage rates. This is right here, mortgage rates. So just, and you can see it right here. The 52-week high happened in last November at 7.375. We're currently at 6.75. So about a half a point off. It's up 8 basis points today. So I post this every day when I do my videos, and this is mortgage rates by Mortgage News Daily. So just let me get this out on the front, and then I'll go to the next question, I promise. Mortgage News Daily sends out surveys to lenders all over the country, and it has a specific criteria. It might say this, and I keep trying to look for this, and I can't really find it. But the gist behind it is to post a rate or for some bank to actually issue a rate, you have to give me the criteria based on that you know, what I'm trying to give a rate to. So I need to know the credit score, the loan to value, how much money you're putting down, what kind of property it is. Is it your primary home or investment property? Is it 2-flat, 3-flat, 4-flat, a condo, a primary residence? What is it? So based on those questions, banks, you know, post their, give their rates, and they send it into Mortgage News Daily. So that's what you're seeing on the screen. So if you go in and try to get a mortgage and you're like, Dan, my rate was, you know, 6.99. Well, that might be because you didn't fit that criteria that's specifically showing on the board. What I try to do to educate people is just say, look at what's happening to the average. Okay. So you can see right here, mortgage rates it's showing right now is up 0.08 for the day. So if you got a quote the day before or two days ago, you can say, well, my rates are going up, but you have to, basically what I want you guys to do is see the trend that's going on. It's all over the map. Like, again, I always, you know, complain or bitch about, you know, oil prices and gas prices. Last night on my way home, and I say, you guys probably think I get gas every night, but I go buy, you know, 10 gas stations. Last night on my way home, gas right by my house was $3.32 a gallon. This morning, it was $3.79 or $3.99. Oil didn't move. So why did my gas prices go up 20% overnight when oil didn't even move? That's the stuff that we got to be cognizant of. Variable interest rates. Here's the problem with variable interest rates. You can even see on your screen. Look at the screen right here. You can see the 30-year fixed is at 6.75. The 5-year ARM, and this is averages, guys. These aren't mine. These aren't, like I said, this is no individual bank's rates. But on the ARM, you get 6.5. So a 0.25% difference in rate. Why take the risk that in 5 years that, you know, rates, who knows, 5 years rates might be 7%, 8%, 9%, 10%. For only a difference of 0.25%, you're protecting yourself basically for the whole life of your loan that you don't have to do anything. And then if rates come down, you can refinance. But the reason for this is basically the yield curve. You know, if you hear you were in a recession or there's a recession on the horizon or whatever, and the yield curve is telling us this, it's basically saying short-term rates in today's market are higher than long-term rates. So in this case, normally an adjustable rate mortgage should be 1, 2, 3% lower in rate than a 30-year fixed, because you're saying, I'll lock in for 5 years, I'll take that risk. Then after 5 years, you know, I don't know what it can be. Well, I'm not willing to risk 0.25% in my rate because the difference in your payment might be, you know, $20, $30 versus where I might be 5 years from now. And yes, you'll in this situation, you'll probably have a chance to refinance in the next, you know, 12 to 16 months, maybe back in the fives. And that's what I'm predicting. But you don't know. None of us really know what's happening. I can just give you my educated decisions on futures markets that I watch, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, housing markets, the Fed, and everything in general. I watch jobs reports, shipping indexes. I do a lot of things in the background that you guys probably don't even know about. The next one is show some love, guys. Show some love. The only way for my channel to grow, and we need to start outpacing these naysayers and all this just bad information out there, is I need your help, okay? The only way I can do this is I'm posting videos every day, doing live events. If you guys can help me share this data, I would really be grateful. So, Rex, let's see what we got. Just slap the like button. Thank you, guys. But even you guys giving comments, giving me a thumbs up and all that, that helps. And that's all I ask. I'm willing to, you know, put aside my time and all my knowledge to help you guys out. And I hopefully you truly see that I'm really here to help you. The next question that we have is, it was funny when she was talking. She sounded doom and gloomy, but they don't worry. Hold on. Let me see who you're talking about. Hey, let me go back through your comments. I don't know. I'm not sure what you're talking about, but yeah, if you can post down below, I'll grab you again down there and answer any questions you got. But and you are on here all the time, so I'll be more than happy to answer. So thank you. How do I share? After this video posts, there's gonna be a share button on my channel, and my channel is, hey, let's go back to here. Let's go to some captions. Here's my channel. So that's my channel. If you guys want to check that out, please do. I would love to have you. And that's how you share. Oh, you were talking about yelling. Yeah, it's funny to watch yelling talk. And, you know, a lot of these guys, it's purely scripted, you know. And then Biden tries to talk. And again, guys, I'm not trying to be political, but they sit and read off the teleprompter. And then if they turn and they try to talk, you know, just normally, they just ramble all over their words. So let's go back through. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. Let's see what you got here, buddy. Is the same thing that happened before 2008. There's a lot of discrepancies between 2008, and I'm glad you brought it up. Basically, if you go do your research back to what happened in 2008, it was all about subprime mortgages. Okay, it didn't have to do with inflation. It didn't have to do with recessions. The subprime mortgage mess meltdown crushed the whole world. So what happened is at that point, why housing values even crashed are people were in these really bad mortgages. They were adjustable rate mortgages that had really no guidelines behind it. And they got into these loans, and within 2, 3 years, 4 years maybe, their mortgage payments doubled. So these people were sitting on these loans. They were liar loans. We call them even internally in the business liar loans, because they got loans based on income that they didn't really make. They were called no income, no assets, no verifications of everything. So they got into these loans, couldn't really afford it. The housing payments got too high. They were forced to sell, and it happened by the millions. So you have all this glut of houses going onto the market, and just not enough buyers to absorb that. And then rates went up, banks started slowing down, banks started shutting. We had over 400 bank closures back in 2008 to 2010. So it was a complete mess. This one is basically Fed induced to a point, and what happened with treasury bills and some bad investments on some banks' parts. So this is very contained, and it shouldn't have a ripple effect throughout the whole economy, especially the whole world. But appreciate that. The next one is, I think, how do I share? Michi, I just went through that. I know it's the same post that you had, but when we're done, you can just go down below and there's a share button. Just share it and just post it on places. Anything you could do would really, I greatly appreciate it. I was talking about yelling. Gotcha. All right. The next question is, why do I see so many videos on YouTube of housing crash? Is it fear mongering? You betcha. Okay. So let me give you the backdrop on this. Here's why I stopped doing videos a couple months ago. A lot of these, and I'm most of these people that are doing the YouTube videos, if you go back 2 years, 3 years, they were doing videos and they would get maybe 100 hits a day, okay? And then they realized, man, if I got into this reventure capital or something like that, Nick, he created that channel. And I actually talked to him twice on the phone. The people in on the YouTube space, we all respected each other. We would call each other, go through things. And he was on my, I had him on two conversations on the phone. And he's a bright kid, but he has this, some things up there, but I'll leave it at that. You know, these guys are making more money, well, more money than they probably ever deemed that they would ever make in their lives. A lot of these people that are realtors, they're making more money on this than they probably did in the realtor business. They're probably making more money on YouTube than they do in the mortgage business. If you go back to their channel and see what they did a year and a half ago, now a lot of these people have cleaned it up. But if you go back, because I was doing this earlier today, I was trying to find, you know, some of these videos on people that have been talking about a housing crash since 2020. You know, and then it goes, foreclosures are going to go crazy. Look at them. They're up 5,000%. Well, there was a moratorium on foreclosures for about a year or two. So what happened at that point? I just need to let you guys, can you guys still hear me? My phone, my computer keeps glitching and I don't know what's happening. And my apologies for that. Let me go back through to make sure my audio is on. It is on. Okay. So a lot of these companies or a lot of these people, they found out, well, if I go out there with shock and awe and I put the housing, you know, the world's blowing up and this and that, I'm going to get a lot of views and I'm going to get a lot of money. And they sell these. The ironic thing is, just do me a favor and I'll stop it at this. Go to their channels and check out what they do. They're going to tell you the same thing over and over and over. But if you really know what you're talking about, if you watch my channel and really know the context of it, you can actually call them out, because half their data, they're actually explaining it to you guys that home prices are crashing. And then when they show you all their analytics behind everything, it's basically home sales. Well, home sales are crashing because there's not a lot of homes on the market. Okay. But a lot of captions that are out today, let's just go through, you know, some of these things, but you ask. And so I will bring it up right through here. You can see these are some of the things that I monitor on a daily basis. Look at the headlines right here. Okay, so let me get my head out of you again. Update: delinquencies, foreclosures, and REOs. So you're hearing people saying, "Oh my goodness, the markets are crashing. Foreclosures they're spiking. They're going out the roof. They're going, you know." But if you go down through here, it's explaining to you that people have a lot of equity built in their homes. They probably have a rate of 3.5% or below, so they have a fantastic, most likely, payment. The house values are going up year after year after year, probably 10-15%. So people have ample equity in their homes. So when you really dive into it to say, okay, what are the numbers really telling us? Well, here's where foreclosure charts are. And look where we are today. Down through here. Okay. Down through here. So is this a crash? Well, you might say, and then what you're also hearing is, well, now we're in stage 18 of the housing crash. Guys, what causes a crash in any market? Well, what causes it? You have too much of something with little demand. Okay. If you sat in my shoes for 3 days, you'd see there's ample demand for people buying houses. It's really hard to afford anything these days, but there's ample demand. The supply is lacking. So for example, me, I have a 2.5% rate on my home. It's a fairly sizable home. If I went out there and bought my same house with a 6.5% rate, my payment would double or triple. I don't want that. So I'm not going to sell my house. I really would like to move, but I'm not going to move because of that. I'm not dissatisfied with my house, but it just, but if rates were 2.5% right now, would I move? There might be a good chance that I move. Okay. So you're going to have a lot of existing homes. That's what, you know, my house is, because it's already existing. They're not there. They're not a huge abundant of existing homes on the market. So what has to pick up that slack? New home sales. Over the last year, new home sales are dismal because these guys are like, okay, the demand is really starting to plummet. And because interest rates spiked, you know, we started building all these homes when the rates were 2.5-3%, all these people qualified, then rates went to 7%, and you know, 80% of the people didn't want these homes anymore. So there was a glut of homes. Once that gets cycled through and construction has been down, you're going to see, you know, that coming back to a little bit normal. What's affecting things right now is a combination of the housing market skyrocketed in values in a lot of areas and mortgage rates spiked. So that's what you're seeing in those areas. But great content. Let's see what the next question is. I was sharing. missed that. My bad. Next thing is, and I'm not reading these pre things. So I live in Jupiter, California. Market has gone up crazy. but worse than 2007-8. Are you familiar with the area in Southern California currently renting but wanting to buy? Yes, I am. Most of our business comes from California. You're part of the California, Texas, Florida, and New York. The values there are nuts. So I remember this the other day. I had a young couple call me, and they were in their mid-20s. And we're going through it, and I'm like, so, you know, what are we looking for? What's your jobs? And they made a good amount of money. They had a good savings account. And I'm like, okay, you should pretty much be able to buy whatever you want. They're like, then they told me where they were. They said, well, starter homes here, you know, just a normal starter home that's just okay. We're looking at $650,000 or above, $650,000 and up. That's a toughie. You know, I wasn't into that price range until I was in my 40s and 50s. You know, so for you guys out there to have that on top of rates where they are today, you know, I don't have the answer for you, but I get it. But I just want you to be aware of what crashed the markets in 2007 and 8 was not, you know, it was purely by the subprime market. Please do your studies on that. Don't think that the environment we're in today is, you know, even comparable to that. It's not. I was watching a thing yesterday from the gentleman on the Big Short, and he came in and he's like, you know, people are fear-mongering this stuff. And they're saying, oh, you know, it's bad. It's bad. He's like, guys, it is nothing. Not even comparable to anything that happened in 2008. It's not even a blip in the radar. So those are coming from the professionals, and he's already got his money. So, you know, next thing is We Hear You could be Restream. Okay, I am using Restream. I'm using a lot of things, and I have a lot of things plugged in here, and we're doing a lot of things in the background so I can at least come to you guys and look a little bit better. But I'm having some glitches. So if you can't hear me or something goes wrong, please, you know, just hang tight with me. I appreciate and value your time, you guys being on here. So thank you for all that. Let's go to the next question. Is I've been following you for a while, and I can really tell that your comments by the people who didn't want to hear the truth. I would share, you know, if you guys could help me, here's what, don't subscribe. Don't click the up button. Don't just go into my videos. Watch my video if you would, and then go down to the comments and read some of the comments that people post. And they abuse me. So if you guys really want to help me, protect me down there. Just saying, hey, you know, I'm still saying there's not going to be a housing crash. Some people, you know, are saying it's still 40, 50%. It will not go down. Could it? I guess anything's possible. The world could blow up tomorrow. I don't know. But are the houses, you know, in general, across the board, on average, going to drop 40 or 50%? No. Okay, just know, okay, it would have to be catastrophic events for that to happen. So those people, they're selling you their newsletters, they're wanting you to watch their videos because they're rambunctious and they're all over the top. So they're making, you know, one of these guys, we accidentally saw his numbers. He was making $60,000 a month off of YouTube. And all the stuff was just complete BS. And you sit there and it's like, people are eating this stuff up. How do we get out there and at least tell the truth? And that's what I'm trying to do. And I need your help with that, guys. So thank you so much. Let's see the next one. Can you explain how assuming a loan works again? The buyer just has to pay back whatever is left on the loan, right? Honestly, I'll give you my feedback on it. I've never done one because what you have to do is you have to negotiate with the bank that holds that mortgage. So here's my understanding on how it works. Let's say you want to buy my house. My house is worth, I'll just say $500,000. And I owe $200,000. So if you want to assume my mortgage, you're going to assume a $200,000 lien, okay? Well, I still want $500,000 for my house. So where's the $300,000 coming from? Well, you're going to have to probably get maybe a second mortgage or do something to pay me the rest of the money, or I'm not going to sell you the house or let you assume my mortgage because I need my full $500,000. So what happens most of the time, from my understanding, is it doesn't work. So you end up having to go with a normal mortgage anyways, or a VA loan if you're a veteran, or an FHA loan or if you're an FHA. But in most cases, the assumability doesn't work because there's a huge gap there of what the purchase person wants from the sale and how much the loan balance is. So I'm pretty sure that's how that worked. Don't etch that in stone. I don't know that for a fact, 100%, but that's what my thoughts would be. The next question is, what is the rate today? Did Fed increase today? My bad. this morning's video, I thought the Federal Reserve was announcing today. They're not. They're announcing tomorrow, which I know. I was doing all my due diligence and everything, and then I'm like, the Fed isn't even doing this stuff till tomorrow. So let's get over to what I have, and then if you guys want, throw in any comments that you have. So my agenda was here to just to show you guys what's going on in the markets, because I like talking about mortgages, and I also like talking about the markets in general, because they are tied together, believe it or not. So right now we have in the markets, let's go do a recap. CNBC is still an easier one to read, so sorry. I boycotted them, but some of their stuff is still easy to read. The Dow Jones ended up 300 points. Down 300 one day, up 500 the next day, down 300. So, you know, a lot of this stuff, if you look at the S&P, off the charts a little bit, if you look at the S&P index over the last year and a half, it's done nothing. I think there was a thing that even said over the last 2 years, basically the S&P has been completely flat. But there's hedge funds out there, and there's a whole bunch of people out there making tons of money. How do they do that? Well, the stock plummets in value, and you scoop in and buy it up, and then it goes up. You make a ton of money. The example there is, and this Jim Cramer, he drives me nuts. He's wrong 99% of the time. So I created a watch list for the banks. Here's what I want you guys to understand. Here's some of the banks in turmoil and some of the banks buying them out. Okay. Some of the banks in turmoil right now are Signature Bank, which is still a complete mess, and Barney Frank, who created the Dodd-Frank bill that we all know of in 2010. A lot of you guys have probably no clue about that, which is fine. The Dodd-Frank bill was a bill that Barney Frank put in place to help banks make sure they're solvent. Ironically, Barney Frank sits on the board of Signature Bank, who is now becoming almost insolvent. So maybe you can write a good paper, but you can't manage that way. So let's go through this. UBS. UBS just stepped in and bought up Credit Suisse, is right through here. So now here's the part that I'm trying to explain to you guys. Look at First Republic Bank. Today, it traded up almost 40%. So do you think somebody's making some massive cash here? You betcha. Don't you wish you could go into a company and say, okay, we'll bail them out, and then tell all your clients that you're bailing them out and have them get a 40% return in a day? You'd look like a genius. Goldman Sachs, they're up 3%. A lot of these are bigger companies that are in the process of bailing these companies out. Look at, you have JPMorgan Chase, who's a huge company. They're up 3% today. So these are the banks that I'm going to start accumulating to these as banks. We hear more and more kind of bad news coming about the banks. So let's go one more question so I can ask it. So it's Ozzy. Tomorrow I will be live at 3 again, and I'll give you the context of what the Federal Reserve did and then the reactions of the market. But when it really takes place is 2 o'clock Central Time, which is 3 o'clock or 1 o'clock. I forget. 2 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Central. So I will not be live for that event, but I'm going to come in after the fact, back at 3 o'clock Central Time, and give you a synopsis of what they did, how that's affecting the markets, and then what I anticipate from there on. Remember when he was threatening Congress. Who was threatening Congress? Please go ahead and fill that in, B, and I'd love to answer those. But otherwise, let's get through some of these. You can see the stock market doing really well. You have the Dow Jones up 265, S&P up 47, NASDAQ up 148. We got Bitcoin over here. It ended up almost $400 at 28,170. You go down through here, you can see some of the top traders for the day. I think so down here. Here's the cryptocurrencies, Ethereum and Bitcoin. I own both of those positions. I'm not telling you guys to own them. I'm not a financial advisor. I do this for educational purposes, to let you guys know what I'm doing so you can follow me and get an idea of what I'm doing. So did that for legal purposes. And then you can go down through here for some of the other things. So let's get into some of the juicy comments. Home prices drop year over year. First time since housing bust one. So does that mean there's a housing bust two coming? Well, it could be. Sales bounce from deep dismal to just dismal. Okay, so then you have that, but then you look at this and it says February existing home sales staged spectacular breakthrough. Spectacular. Well, this one was dismal. So now do you get an idea on the thumbnails that people create and all those titles they create? Bring you in, and then you start watching them and like, hey, this person seems really credible. But then if you really did your due diligence on it, It's like that guy at the in Congress or the House from New York. He got in, and now everybody's saying, well, everything on his resume is false. Well, if people wouldn't really truly investigate things that they should, like, you know, the news channels, now they're saying, oh, this guy falsified his this. Is it? Why didn't you catch it? You're trying to catch everything else that people are doing. So why don't you catch it? So behind the scenes, that's what a lot of people do. They fearmonger. And this is the same data. So right now, what this is telling us is right through here. Let me find the caption for you. Where to go? If you know, go down through here. Here's basically what's happening behind the scenes. So this is actually factual information that gets published every day. Just go down through here. 14% increase snapped up 14 months. Existing home sales emerged. So existing home sales. So in a house that already somebody lives in, now wants to put it up for sale. At least temporary out of a prolonged slump last month and weren't even shy about it. The National Association of Realtors said seasonally adjusted annual sales of pre-owned single-family houses, townhouses, condos, and cooperative apartments hit a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 4.58 million units compared to 4 million in January. The 14% monthly increase snapped a 12-month losing streak. Okay, you can see down here. So that's what I get to when people say, you know, the housing market's crashing. Look at this. They don't really talk about home sales. Now let's go to home sales. So what you can do is, I bet you guys didn't really know this unless you're a follower of my channel. If you go to Zillow, and you go to Zillow, and you can probably see the URL up here. You go to Zillow.com, and you hit research, and then you hit data. So it's through here. Okay, you hit that, and you scroll down. You just scroll down to the bottom. Now, this is Zillow. You can say, well, this information is false. Well, it has to be somewhat factual because they have to be accountable for something on here. Here's where home values year over year. Okay, so yes, some markets are going to get hit. Some much more than others. Some might not see a blip in the radar. It depends. So you can't say across the board the markets are going to crash everywhere, because here's what's happening. Now, if you came to me and said Miami, Florida would still be seeing a 10% increase in value, I'd say you're nuts. But you can see down through here, everything is still at 5, 6, 7% year over year. This is the norm, folks. This is the norm. I mean, it might sound like humdrum, but a normal house evaluates or escalates in value or appreciates in value 4.4% a year over the last 50 years. Okay, not 10, not 8, not 15, not 20. Okay, so those that seen that robust increases, well, they're probably going to be down here. So did I say housing values are not going to drop at all? No, I didn't. I didn't say that. I said some areas that saw huge moves in the market are going to see more pain than others. So you can see down through here, San Francisco, I can't read this number, but it's down over 6% because it's below this. San Jose, Sacramento, Austin, Seattle. I could have told you every one of these. Yep. They're all going to be down in value. But you go through here, the middle of the country and other areas that aren't as populated. Look at Charlotte, Louisville, Buffalo, Virginia Beach, the United States in general, 4.34. Guys, that's the norm. So you can't get used to a 2% interest rate on your mortgage and a 18 or 20% adjustment in your property values year over year. It's more like the average rate should be about 5.5%, and the average appreciation on a house should be about 4.4%, and that is actually validated right in there. So let's go through some of the other things while you guys are thinking about some questions. The economic calendar for today, I had to go back to this because I missed the thing, but existing home sales, that's the only data we have out today, and it blew away the numbers. It was over 500,000 more than was expected, so that's good news. Tomorrow, we're going to have crude oil inventory. I'd like knowing that number to see what in the world's going on with oil prices, because that is the one area that really ticks me off, as you guys know. Home prices. Okay, now, if you want to find out more about me and my team, but let's go back to answering some of the questions you guys have. Let's see what we got here. So guys, please ask any questions you have, but let's go back to my live ticker so you guys can watch that while I'm answering the questions. How do rate buy-downs work? I went to Lennar and they can help to buy down the rate. Can I do FHA down closing cost decision? I went to Lennar and they can help to buy rate down. Yes, so that's when it works the best. So basically here's how the buy-downs work. Let me get myself up on the screen a little bit better. So how the buy-downs work is basically this, in its simplest terms. Let's go with the normal one. The normal one is a 2-1 buy down, which basically means this. The first number is a 2, second number is 1. So you close on your loan or you get a mortgage. The first year, your rate is going to be 2% lower than what your actual final rate's going to be. So let's say in today's market, you're at 6.5. We locked you in at 6.5. You're getting a 6.5 loan. But for the first year, it's going to be 2% lower than that. So that rate's going to be 4.5%. The next year, the rate's going to be 1% off of the final rate. So again, the final rate's 6.5. So the second year, the rate's 5.5. So how this works is we calculate how much interest you would have owed. So your mortgage is truly at 6.5%, and your payment is based on that as well. But for the first year, you get a 4.5% rate. So the difference in that payment has to be paid somehow. So that money gets grabbed and set aside. Okay? Hopefully this makes sense to you. So the next year, the same thing. We have to figure out your real rate for the payment is 6.5%, but for the second year, your rate is only 5.5% because of the buy down. So we figure out what that payment is versus the 6.5%. The difference there gets pulled aside and added over here too. So then you add in year one, how much you would have had to pay in addition on those payments. And in year two, you do it the same way. So how much money you need at closing would be how much money that interest calculates out to be. So we have, I'm going to post down below when we're done there. We do have calculations and calculators that will actually do this for you to make it make sense. If you've seen on calculations, you'll say, oh, it's just interest due. So basically you're just postponing that interest for a year or two. So we accumulate that money and say, how much does it cost to do that? So it might cost $8,000, $10,000 to do so. So that's when you'll go to Lennar and say, I need a $10,000 credit, because that's what's needed to buy down my rate to get the 2-1 buy down. Hopefully you'll find that makes sense to you. If not, I will put a calculator down below. So you can do it on your own. I have those at my accessibility. So I'll post that in the description down below, like my buddy says. But I can't do that right now. We're live. But as soon as we're done, I promise you I'll go in there and post that in there. But thanks. Great question. And I think I do have videos. And Kyle, if you go to Win the House You Love with Kyle Seagraves, he has videos about this and calculators as well. So we're here to answer, you know, provide you all that information. Hi, Dan. With the current situation in the banks, do you think rates will eventually go down or feds will raise the rates again? So my expectations here, let's give it a drum roll. Here's what I expect for tomorrow. And this is what all the numbers are telling us. Chicago Mercantile Exchange futures indexes, everything. Basically, you can buy futures index of like what's going to happen. And the consensus is they're going to raise rates 0.25%. Okay. I don't really think that's going to really do much to the markets at all. Because they're expecting that. What's going to come out of this is just give this a little bit of time for all this banking stuff to wash out. Banks aren't in that much trouble as a lot of people are making it seem. They're not even in a fraction of the trouble that they were in back in 2008, 2010. This will subside. There'll be other catastrophic events that come up and everything else. But I think we're going to be pushed into a recession quicker than we expected because of a lot of these things that are happening right now. Federal Reserve's going to have to pull their foot off the pedal. The last five or six recessions, every one of them saw interest rates decline, especially on the mortgage front, over 1.8%. So if you go back to where rates are right now, I think I had it up here. Did I have it up here? No, it was up here somewhere. Let's see. Bear with me a second. Should have it on the first page. It's not up here. I just had it up here. I don't know where it went. But the rates, I think it's 6.75 right now. So that's telling me rates should be, and like I expect, the rates should be kind of in the 5.5 range long term right now, especially in this market. So that's what I'm anticipating happening in the next near future. It is virtually impossible to figure this out day by day by day. So those that come in and say, you know, the market, give it 15 days, the market's going to crash. Please don't even take the time to watch that video. I know it's intriguing because I watch them as well, but normally you watch it and they have nothing. They talk nothing about it, or, you know, the dollar's going to plummet. And then 2 weeks later, when nothing happens, they'll just post, hey, there's a reversal in the market or something like that. So please be cognizant of who you're watching and you know, what the intention is there. Okay, so let's see if somebody had a comment on there. 2-1 buy down costs $3,000 if you save $2,000 the first year and $1,000 in the second year. The investor set aside $3,000 until June. Yep, that's exactly how it is. But I was trying to give the calculations, so I'll find those for you guys so you can do the calculation on yourself by yourself. But it is not, you know, $3,000 etched in stone the first year, $2,000 the first year, and $1,000 the next year. It's a combination of your rate, loan amount, and a whole bunch of other things that go about that. So if you refinance after a year, one, the investor would owe you the $1,000 that was set aside for year two. If you refinance after year one, the investor would owe you the, you're right. So what happens is the good news about this program is if you refinance in the interim, So let's say you stuck aside $8,000 to do all the, you know, pay that interest and everything else. If you refinance, let's say rates plummet. If you close on a loan, you know, 6 months ago, 4 months ago, 5 months ago, and your rate's 7 or something like that, please reach out to us. You could probably refinance right now, skip one or two mortgage payments, get a lower payment, move forward, and you're being in a sweet spot. But yes, if you refinance and you have a 2-1 buy down that you've funded and you refinance after 6 months, you're probably going to get a decent amount of money back as a credit on your payoff. So that's a whole video for another channel. And I do have videos about that. Please just check it out. And then here's the rate sheets. It was the last tab. So let's go over to where rate sheets are right now and kind of conclude this thing. Here's where rates are right now. Let me give you a tune on what the MBS market's doing. Right now, this is the MBS market. You can see that it's down 22. The markets are closed. So we're going to probably see about 0.1 increase in rates tomorrow. But again, I don't fret just yet because the dang, that rhymed. Because the Federal Reserve is coming out tomorrow. And again, I'll post a report in the morning for my final findings that I see on what they're going to do. And guys, these are just my educated guesses on this stuff. But you know, we'll do that. And then at 3 o'clock, I'll be back Central Time. It's going to be after the Federal Reserve announced what they're going to do. And I'll tell you what, you know, what's happening in the markets and then what my anticipation is going to be based on that and any new news that we have in the banking sector. The next thing is, what closing costs do you pay on a streamlined refinance? So that's a great question. Let me answer what a streamlined refinance is first, and then I'll go over the cost with you. So here's what happens. We do a lot of FHA loans because it's a great program. A lot of the price adjustments that conventional loans had put in place just recently are making FHA a little more attractive to some borrowers. But what a streamline is let's say we do your loan today and the rates, I'm just going to say, let's say you closed on your loan in November and the rate was 7.99. Okay. The rate today is 6.25. Well, you should look to do something. If you have an FHA loan and you've made at least 6 payments on it and you have not been delinquent, but if you made more payments, it's great. But you cannot be delinquent in the last 6 months, not one time. And you can have one late pay over a 12-month period. Okay, you need that. You need a 580 credit score. And that's about it. You need to make sure that the rate that you're getting is at least a 0.5% lower than what you currently have. So if that all works, you would most likely qualify for an FHA streamline. What an FHA streamline is basically the HUD or FHA saying, you're paying us now. Okay, your rate's 7.5 or 7.9, you're paying us now. You're probably going to pay us as good or not better if we reduce your rate and save you $200-$300 a month. So we will approve your loan just based on your past payment history. You don't need an appraisal. We don't even need to verify your income because you've been making the payments and you have not missed any payments. So basically the only cost that you have is we waive all of our processing fees, underwriting fees, and everything. So the only fees you would have with us is title fees. That's you know, if when you buy your house, you have to go to a title company or an escrow company and sign all the papers and do that. In Illinois, if you're buying a house, now title fees are much less expensive if you're refinancing versus buying. So for example, in Illinois, if you're buying a house, it wouldn't be off if you had at least, you know, $5,000 in closing costs just for your title. If you refinance, usually it's about $895. So that's how much cheaper it is to do a streamline. So if you're out there and you have a high rate, you close just, you know, in the last 6-8 months or whatever, and you have an FHA loan and you're paying like a shot, please reach out to us. You can schedule an appointment down below. Reach out to us. Give us a call. You can go to our website. I'm glad I pulled my website up. So our website is right here. You can go to therateupdate.com, and there's a whole bunch of stuff you can find here. We just put in a great tool on here. A friend of ours, Catalina, she owns My Loan Sense. And it's a student loan relief plan for those out there with student loans. So if you have student loans, I don't care if you're buying a house or not, or your kids have it, or your friends have student loans and they're just buried with this stuff. All they have to do is go here. It'll launch this up and it'll go over and tell you. Kyle did a video with Catalina. She's actually the owner of My Loan Sense. She's an awesome young lady. And it goes over and explains to you how this all works. There's usually about 5 different plans that people do qualify for based on your payment-based income packages. So here's how this works. And then I'll leave it at this. If you have student loan debt, you're really going to have a tough time qualifying for a mortgage, especially if you owe like $100,000 or more, because most of the programs require that we use a 1% factor of the balance that you owe. So just recently, this isn't made up, we had a couple that had over $300,000 in student loan debt. Okay. Their student loan payments, we equated to about $3,400 a month. All right. We put them through Catalina's system. Their payments went down to, I don't even think it was $400 or $500 a month. So just think, they saved over $3,000 a month on this program. So the first thing you might say is, okay, you're just kicking the can like the government does. They just kick the can down the road and you're going to owe that money. No, because almost all these programs require a 10-year payment plan. So after 10 years, whatever's owed, in a lot of cases, almost all cases, you don't owe that money anymore. So if you want to find out more about this, and this is in effect right now, folks, you don't have to wait for the Supreme Court or anybody to get on this. This is what you actually qualify today. And there's no obligation. You can use their system. You can all go all the way out to getting all these quotes. But if you want Catalina and her team to take care of all the paperwork for you year after year after year and you know, educate you this on all this stuff, I think it's less than, it's about $250 for that. And they take care of everything for you. It is money well spent. But this is our website. You can find out a whole bunch of information here. There's tools, there's calculators. I don't think there's a 2-1 calculator in here, but I can bring that in. I'll reach out to our website developer and see if they can add that 2-1 buy down calculator in. But I know it. If you go to winthehouseyoulove.com, Kyle has that on his channel and or his website. He's part of our team as well. And we're bringing in other YouTubers as we talk. And I'm going to start doing live events with those, and you'll be quite surprised who we're bringing in. Let's go to one more question, then I'm going to tune off because it's been about an hour that we've been on here. But I'm glad you guys are sticking around with me. I'm selling my home 21 days on the market, 2 showings. Will things pick up in April? I have a feeling people are on the sidelines. I'm selling my home in 21 days in on the market, 2 showings. That's pretty good. I'd say that's pretty good. Rodney, I'll get there 1 second. I don't know how I missed you, but I'll go back through. When's the market going to pick up? It usually picks up right about now. I think I've only had 1 or 2 months, Marches ever in my whole history that surpassed our volume this month. And this month we're having a fantastic March. And daily, we're probably getting about 4 contracts in a day. So, Rodney, let me see if I can find your question. So, I didn't mean to skip you. So, let's see. Going down through here. Rodney. If you don't mind posting it one more time, I'll try to find you. Oh, you were way up top. You might have been the first one, and I just happened to miss. Rodney, if you can post that question again, because I don't see you unless it was the number one post when you came on. Let's see. Ronnie, you didn't post a question, so I need you to post a question. Here it is, and I can't see any question that you had. So I'll give you 30 seconds to go ahead and post that so I can answer those questions. But one other site I want to just familiarize you guys with is another thing that I created. Guys, I'm only telling you for just to help you guys out. Here is I created this website, actually, creditscoresandmore.com. I basically make no money. I make enough money basically to keep this thing up. So you can go down through here and you can get your free credit scores. That'll take you to Credit Karma or Credit Sesame. If you don't have those, fantastic. It's a free system. Use it. Sign up for it. You're going to get our VIP package and all this other stuff. Don't buy any of that stuff. Just use the main system and it's fantastic. Your True FICO. Here's the system I use, just so you guys know. I actually did a video of it. I know the owners of this company as well. I've been using this for years, Smart Credit. It helps me budget. It gives me alerts when things get charged on my account. It gives me, things like that. It even has a what-if simulator. So you're like, how do I get my credit scores up? Well, you can actually go into the system and say, okay, I have $1,500 I want to spend, and I want to get the most bang for my buck for those. So you can go into all your creditors and manipulate through there and say, if I had $1,500 to spend, what would you suggest, AI, to let me know this is what I should concentrate on paying down or paying off, and I'll get my credit scores increased. That's just one tool they have. That's really not what they do. They're not here to increase your credit scores. It's basically a whole credit management system built in one, and it is cheap on a monthly basis. So that's just that part of it. But Rodney, it doesn't look like you're going to answer that question. I would love to answer it, but maybe you can put it down below or shoot me an email. I'd love to answer that. But other than that, guys, that is it for today. I greatly appreciate you guys being here. I truly do. My biggest fear every day is when I come on here is that I just have no audience. And even if there's a couple people, I'm here to answer any questions that you have. So let's go. Rodney has the last question. Thanks for posting, Rodney. And I'm sorry, I didn't see your comments there. Someone with bad credit, how high do you think the rate would be for FHA? Not real high. I mean, it's hard to say because it's not only that, it's the loan amount, the property type, and a whole bunch of other things. So if you don't mind, you know, you can email me, schedule a consultation, do whatever you want. We can provide you a rate quote. I think in tomorrow's live event, if you join me and Kyle on our channel, we're going to show you guys how we actually price loans, and then we call it, we search your loans. You'd be surprised on what we actually do. Most people think, you know, well, you're a mortgage advisor. Can you work in my state? Do you have, you know, do you have availability to do this product? Can you do this? Let me just explain to you what we are and who we are. My name is Dan Frigo. I've been doing this for 34 years, folks. So I'm not in this for, you know, a quick buck. You know, I hear some YouTubers, I've been doing this for a year and it's, you know, my YouTube channel is fantastic. Okay, well, get a little bit of, you know, dirt under your belt a little bit, and then you explain to everybody how the real estate market really works. But we're a federally chartered bank. Okay, it's Allied First Bank in Illinois. But we are federal. That means we are federally chartered. So we can help anybody in the entire country. If you're looking to buy, refinance, get a reverse mortgage, debt consolidation, home equity loan, anything of that sort, we can help you. Okay, we're federally chartered. The other thing that mostly nobody knows about, we're one of the country's largest mortgage brokerages. Okay, so we have over 90 different lenders that we can use their guidelines and their rates. Okay, so for example, if my bank doesn't have the best rate for you, I'm going to go into the system and scan the whole country to figure out who has the best rates. Tomorrow in our live event, we're going to show you how we do that and how it works. You'll be amazed. So the process we can help you with if you're out there trying to look for your first house is we can help vet realtors for you. So you probably don't know what realtor is worth a darn. You know, you might have a neighbor or friend who's a realtor, but you're moving somewhere and you really don't know a lot of people. Use our system. It's free. We vet realtors in your area to find you the best realtor there. We get you pre-approved. We walk you all the way through the process. So we get you pre-approved. If you need down payment assistance, we handle that. It's all us. You don't have to go out to another entity and do that. We'll help you with your credit. So in your case, Rodney, if you have credit issues, we can maybe use this system like this. I would highly suggest you use this. Go to our website or go to creditscoresandmore.com, scroll down, watch this video. You'll see where this could help you tremendously, especially Rodney. Okay. So we're actually a huge bank and we're a huge brokerage. So we should be able to help you anywhere in the whole country with any kind of residential loan that you're looking for. One-stop shop. We're going to help you find the realtor. We're going to help you scan the whole country with rates. So you don't have to call people every day to find out, get quotes, because it's confusing. And you can see, you know, on a daily basis, rates might move as much as 0.25%. So all the phone calls you made yesterday, if you didn't lock in, it's irrelevant. Okay. So these are all the services that we offer you guys. And I bet you didn't know that. And there's more and more coming. So a couple more questions. Sorry, guys. If you want to log out, go ahead and log out. I know it's been an hour, but I want to go through here and just thank everybody and answer any last minute questions. Let's see what we got. Dan, I used your loan estimate review today. My current lender has the best rate, so no changes needed. Appreciate the honesty from your team. Thank you so much. You betcha. This is what we do. So sometimes if you search and search and search, the one area we have a really difficult time competing with is the lender or the builder's preferred lender. I still don't know how they do it. It would be deemed illegal if I did it, but they're giving you all kind of cost credits and everything else if you use their preferred lender. That should be against RESPA violations or banking laws, but they do it. So if you're working with a preferred lender's builder, your most cases, you're fine. We can't really scratch anything there. But what I ask you to do is after you close, keep in mind us in regards to a refinance because we can probably help you huge there. Rodney, your credit score is 580, dude. It's not that bad. Okay, 580 gets you on the board. When you're under 580, that's when things get really bad. So FHA would be your only shot at that. If we can get you up to a 620, you'll be in even in better situation. So if you would check out that, my credit scores and more website, and then call us. Schedule an appointment. We'd love to walk through and answer all the questions that you have going forward and point you in the right direction. Let's see. The next one is, it's been on the market for 21 days. It's 3 weeks that you're okay. January, February, March, not a lot of people are looking because most people are starting to look. They want to buy in once the kids get out of school. That's just how it works. You know, people don't want to be transit. They're not transit during the school years in many, many, many cases. So come April, May, you're going to get a lot more traction on that, but you'll probably find I'm pretty sure you'll find a buyer by then. Here we go. I hate Yellen, Bernanke, and Maestro, like Powell. Only time is going to tell. It doesn't matter. You know, I appreciate that. You know, you like them. A lot of these guys, they're, I want to say, kind of puppets of the banking system and the government and everything else. So I feel bad for a lot of them because they're on the hot seat for a lot of things. Like, for example, everybody says, you know, Powell's doing a completely crap job. He might be doing, fairly bad job. But the federal government has spent, what was it, $810 billion pumping money into the system in the last 2 years. And now they wonder why there's inflation and they point to Powell. And it's kind of hypocritical. Let's see. What's a good site for home estimates? Oh, I use, believe it or not, I use Zillow. I use a combination of Zillow, Redfin, and things like that. Those are all just, there are systems you can pay for and stuff like that. Nobody really knows because your house is customized. You know, it's going to come in and say, Zillow says my house is worth whatever, and it's probably worth 50 grand more because I know much more about my house than Zillow does. So I got a pool. I don't know if it did. I have a full finished basement. It says I have a partial basement. I have a 4-car garage. This says I have a 3-car garage. So there's a lot of discrepancies there. I don't know why, but it does come up with pretty fairly good values. You guys have a lot of questions today. All right, well, I'll keep going. Can my wife, who's not on our current house like title, be qualified as a first-time home buyer if we decide to buy another property together? If she's not on title or anything of the property, yes, you can do that. And I would suggest she do that on the next loan if you can. Only one person has to be a first-time home buyer, and in her case, yes, she could qualify for that. The next one is the Fed is not going to pivot till 2024. Okay. Well, the futures market, Chicago Mercantile Exchange, who consists of billionaires and trillionaires and companies and economists, is where their money is. Now you got to watch that. Don't watch mainstream media and the markets and YouTubers and everything. Watch where the money's going. The money is saying that they are going to pivot mid-year. So I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, honestly, they're not going to pivot. Well, if the banking system starts to crash, you start seeing JP Morgan Chase going out of business and other companies going out of business, I guarantee you they'll pivot. So we don't know what's going on. So you can say they will not or never going to happen because it can always happen. Need to be your Florida realtor, Gainesville. I'll be in Chicago first week of April. I'll come over. Come on over. April. I'll be gone. I'll be in Florida the first week of April. I have my 34-year anniversary with my lovely wife, and we are heading down to Florida to our place down there for just a week. I never take a week away, but we're just her and I are having a little getaway. Okay, this one. This is funny. Yes, it was a physician loan, actually. I don't know what your question was. Hold on. Okay, I don't think you had a question. Mr. Rogers, you're here, buddy. I gave you a thumbs up the other day. I'm great. You're one of the ones that actually protects me on YouTube, so thanks. Other people on here, if you're liking this, please go on my YouTube channel. Help me out on the comments. When you have people telling me I'm an idiot and I don't know what I'm doing and I'm just pushing FOMO for housing and all this stuff, please get my back. That's the only way my channel is going to grow, and I can count on you guys if you can help me with that. Let's go through. I'm going to move me over here so you guys can see me, and then we'll answer the rest of these questions. Michi, see you soon. Got to go. Take care. Nice seeing you. Let's see. I bought Baba. No recession. Got it. Yeah, that might be getting the banking stocks right now. I'm not telling you what to do because YouTube doesn't like that. Investments doesn't like that. Don't buy anything on my recommendations. Buy what you do your research on. That gets me out of legal trouble. Thank you for answering my questions. You betcha. Guys, that's what I'm here for. Let's see what we got here. Last question. I'm going, guys. I sold 3-2 from Berkeley. I'll look now and see comps are 150 left. How much did you sell it for? $150 less. I know it's $150,000 probably less. But if you're talking to, we just had an appraisal in New York. We actually closed on it yesterday, but the appraisal came in about $100,000 short. but it was in the millions. So if it's, you know, if it's a $1.5 million home and you lost $150,000, but, you know, where were you 2 years ago? That's the whole thing. You want the whole picture. You know, you might have bought this 2 years ago and, you know, you sold it and actually made $1 million. And now, you know, you're looking at it and saying, oh, now it's down 150 grand. That person might have also paid over asking price for it. So there's a lot of unknowns there. So I'm going to head out, guys. I greatly appreciate you guys watching. If you would, share my videos, give us a thumbs up, smack that like button, whatever you can do. Don't forget, go to my comment section and help me out there. I greatly appreciate it. That's where I need the most help. And then I'll see you tomorrow and give you an early morning update on when the markets are doing. And I'll see you at 3 o'clock tomorrow evening to let you guys know what the Fed did and what repercussions are happening in the markets. So God bless, guys. Thanks for watching.